Well, hello everyone, and welcome back to another special episode of the Deeper Podcast. I'm Austin Slater, that's Dan Kinnis, and that's Eric. Pastor Eric, thank you so much for coming and joining us.
Yep.
It's awesome to have you here again. I always love having like three or more people involved in these things. It's just so much, it's a fun vibe. I like it. I love the interaction.
Special guest appearance.
Special guest appearance.
We should get like a WWE intro for each every time we have someone.
Our own theme music.
I like that. Yeah, that's
Eric's music. There's Eric's. It's Eric with his chair. So we just wrapped up our second Advent series in Revelation this week. And this week and last week really had a lot of great overlap. So that's why we've got both of the pastors here today. We're going to talk about a little bit about both of their sermons. So, Pastor Eric, let's start with you. Can you refresh our memory as to what your sermon was about two Sundays ago?
Yeah, so pulling from Revelation 4, you have this magnificent scene around the throne. John gets called up to get, a firsthand view of what's going on in heaven and, what that looks like. And really just kind of focused on three different parts of that, just focusing on the invitation that John received into heaven. And how that kind of relates to each and every one of us has an invitation as well to be a part of that, and then how we respond to that. The second part was the throne itself being the centerpiece. As John goes up into heaven, he says then he saw that there was a throne, sitting in the middle there, and just the scene with that. So we talked a little bit about the throne itself, and I think the biggest thing I tried to focus on was that somebody was sitting on that throne, that it wasn't empty. But it was a position held by that person that is worthy. And as Pastor Dan preached this Sunday, what that looks like, the sufficiency of, our Lord and Savior Jesus, who is sitting on that throne and is there today. And then just finally, our response to that, as we see the elders and we see the creatures and we see everything, centered around that throne in worship. And our response as we wait, as Pastor Dan's been preaching on, that idea that as we wait in worship, and who's sitting on that throne should identify to how we worship and to what we put into that, and worship in the sense of not just coming in on Sunday and being fully there for worship on Sunday morning, but how we live our lives out every single day and everything that we do. So kind of just looking at that. I mean, there's a lot to chew on. Chapters 4 and 5, a lot of imagery, a lot of grandeur when you think about it. And I even think and just recognized on that Sunday, just, John was trying to use human words to try to explain something that he couldn't. So it's even bigger than even that anything that we can ever imagine. But that idea that Jesus is on that throne and he is going to return one day. And we need to be prepared for that. We need to accept that invitation, and we need to be in worship every single day. So,
yeah, a lot of great reminders in there. And I was particularly convicted of just especially the, like, look, if this is – he's sitting on this throne, this is God himself. Right. Like your example of, like, the sports analogy that you gave when, like, people get all excited about their sports teams and they'll get dressed up and they'll, get so invested in that. Where is that energy if God is who we believe he is?
Yeah.
It's like, and like making sure that God is the center of that worship. Mm. I think that just really was convicting for me personally. So really appreciated that.
Yeah. And I'm not saying like Pastor Dan, hits a sermon out of the park and we should douse him with a Gatorade bottle.
I still think we should do that personally.
I might enjoy that. Right. Energy,
But I do think it's the energy. It's the reverence, if you would. It's the fear that we talk about in scripture that we bring to our worship, our focus. Mm-hmm. Again, we can have so many distractions on Sunday morning and in our lives and so many obstacles to get in the way of that true affection of who's sitting on that throne. And I don't know if you can really sit back and think about, like, God sits on that throne and he is in control and sovereign over all things. That should bring you to your knees. Mm-hmm. I mean, that really should bring you to a place of worship that, is full of energy and full of focus. So, yeah.
It's very beautifully sobering when you think about it. Mm-hmm. Yeah. And then, Pastor Dan, would you mind reminding us what you talked about on Sunday?
Yeah. So, we went to Revelation 5 then, and it is really a continuation. You're still there at the throne. And then, specifically in chapter 5, the Lamb, the Lion of Judah, the Lamb who sacrifice his life on the cross, Jesus Christ comes into full focus there and really upholds him for being fully God as well. And so we talked about, yeah, just that word worthy really appears in chapter 5, and that question, who is worthy, and the answer, he is worthy and he alone. And talked about what does that mean and why is it important. And really so much of it is the same as chapter 4. I mean, that chief application of this is the one we're to adore now and forever. And so our lives, like everybody around the throne, are to be circled around him, focused on him. And we talked about the wonderful new song that goes up because of what Jesus has done, describing how Jesus has purchased for God people from every tribe, nation, tongue, and to be a kingdom and priests. And we talked about that as an application point. If that's who we are, we're going to reign with Christ. We serve God as priests. Well, that can inform how we live now. So we talked about a little of, you know, what does the priesthood look like in our lives now? What does it look like to reign with him, to be his kingdom agents now? And, yeah, just to think about that. But it really comes back to this is all about adoring Christ as Lord. Mm-hmm. And he's the one on the throne. And, again, that temptation to put other things in that position, we have to be aware of that. And we all do it at time to time. And
absolutely.
That's just to name it and just to keep striving together to seek the Lord fully, to worship him and keep him where he belongs in our lives. So
yeah, and I think that's one of the things I appreciated so much about both of these sermons is that we really hit on, this is one of the most key elements of our faith, of what we believe, that Jesus is God, that he is Lord, that he is above all things, and we need to worship him. Mm. And that's just such a core element, and like it's easy to remember that in some ways, but then it's so easy to forget it in others. Mm. We get so focused on our behaviors, all of these other things that matter, but what matters is Christ is Lord. Mm. And so I just really appreciated both of you guys really hitting on that. And I'd love to get a little bit to some of those. Well, you were talking about like putting other things on this throne and some of these other distractions. Because there's a lot of things that are really good in the world.
Mm-hmm.
And a lot of things that we believe can be used to further God's kingdom and God's plan. The trick is we don't necessarily know exactly what God's plan is. So my question to both of you is, how can we hold in balance things that might be good or very good even, and good tools to honor God, but they're not Jesus himself? How do we hold the balance of all of these things that are really practical in our lives with God's plan and God needs to be on the throne? How can we make sure we don't switch these things up?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it's a good question, because I think it's an ongoing wrestling for anybody. It doesn't matter how long you've been a Christian. There's always the temptation to take what's good even and make it into what it's not meant for, as an idol, right? And we take anything of this world and can misuse it in that way. I know for myself, it's like this constant kind of checking, you know, how am I spending my time? You know, a lot of theologians use that word ultimate. What's your ultimate concern? What's your ultimate focus? You know, what's your priority might be another way. So I kind of measure that, you know, this past week, what was my focus really on? Where was my effort going? And that can be quite revealing. Mm-hmm. It could be, well, I did a lot of work this week. My job was there. When I got home, I was still thinking about it. I didn't spend time maybe in prayer or in scripture or even talking about those things with my family or preparing for teaching a Sunday school class or whatever. It was all this. Or maybe it's, you know, a dating relationship that someone has, right? We first kind of are falling in love with somebody. Wow, they're kind of the only thing in our minds often. And it's a beautiful thing, but it can quickly start becoming an adoration that's inappropriate.
Mm-hmm.
And that could be the case even long after we're married, in those cases too, or our kids, or all, like you said, you know, these are good things in and of themselves. So that's one way to be checking in, you know, how am I doing? And even our men's group that met last night, some of that, sometimes we need somebody to speak honestly to that, to say, you're off right now. You're not quite yourself, and that's usually because I'm not honed in on the true adoration I should be giving to the Lord. I know, and Eric could speak to this too, in our work as in ministry and as pastors, it's so easy to excuse myself from being overly focused on my work. Well, you know, I'm spending all this time in scripture and I'm teaching other people about Jesus, and that's good, of course. It's what we're called to, but it can't replace my adoration of the Lord. You know, it's I got to have that first and foremost in my life. And so it doesn't matter what you're doing, what's going on. You know, there's always that temptation to have these other things take that place. So Yeah, Eric, you might have some other good thoughts too or ideas.
Yeah, I don't know. Like thinking, you know, for me, you know, this whole series has been on, you know, the second advent, the wait. And, you know, using good theological, reformed theology here, you know, we're in that already, but not yet. And I find it's hard to wait knowing that this has already been accomplished. Mm. Like this is done. You know, you talked about in your sermon about knowing the score of the game before, and it changes the way we live our lives. I think that's really hard to grasp. Like this has been accomplished for us. But then yet, why do I have to sit here and go through everything I'm going through? So I think that can be distracting sometimes.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely.
And the fact of having to wait, like, you know. And I think for me, I think the thing that I have to be careful about in my life is, like, putting myself on the throne to where my priorities, my thoughts, my feelings, my passions, my pride even can take the place of where Christ is supposed to be sitting. And that can eventually drive everything else that I put on that throne as well. So I think we have a tendency just in that, like that wait. I think that can be long. It can be augurous. Mm-hmm. It can be just like, oh, you know, you hear a lot of times, you know, come Lord Jesus, come. Mm-hmm. But, you know, I think that can hurt us and help us at the same time. But the grandeur even of that, of like, Jesus has already accomplished this. Like, it's not like we do know the end of the game. We do know the score. You know, why do I have to wait? Like, why can't I have it now? And that changes our perspective sometimes. It can get tiring, if you would. And
how long?
Well, and yeah, how long?
And in some ways, that can almost lead us into a form of despair sometimes, at least for me personally. I know that actually, even earlier this week, I was driving home and just doing a lot of thinking, and I'm like, what has been on my throne? Well, honestly, what's been on my throne is the fact that God has won, and yet the world is still so messed up. And it's so hard. And it's so easy to fall into that despair. And even put the despair of the fact that this has not all been redeemed on the throne.
Yeah, and I think when we don't keep that center focused in our life, when we keep that there, things like politics and everything else bring about more despair, and we get more caught up in those things and the things that are going on in the world that are not necessarily good or not necessarily, you know, encouraging for me as a Christ follower. We have a tendency to navigate towards those because we're already in that spot. So I think we have to be really careful, like, where we get hung up in. Do we get into the politics and all that other things and get into arguments and get into circle conversations on social media? And I don't know, we can lose ourselves really quick. And not even realize it just because we've lost focus of, you know, what's to come. This has been accomplished for us. He does sit on the throne. He is coming back. And how we live into that every single day matters. Because when Jesus comes back, you know, he's not going to come down and, how many good things did you do today, Dan? He's not going to, you know, he wants to know, does my son know you? I mean, is your heart there? I mean, that's going to be like the most important question. Does my son know you? And do you know my son? That's determines all of eternity. And we put so much stock in so many other things, whether it's sports or politics or whatever. I think it's a dangerous place to go.
You make a really insightful, I think, connection there in that in our waiting, in our impatience in the waiting, we tend to then put our hopes in other things. Well, God's sure taking his time, you know, maybe, and things are messy. Yeah. Maybe this politician can figure it out.
Yeah. Or maybe this will at least move me in the direction I feel like it should, which I know I'm for sure guilty.
Oh, yeah. This solution's going to work. And then it doesn't, of course, and then we just go further down, you know, the rabbit hole. But I think that makes a lot of sense. Like, that's why we are tempted to put our hopes in other things, because things aren't perfect, far from it. And we're like, okay, God, what are you doing? And then there's that little bit of doubt, perhaps, that leads us to like, well, maybe this can save us and save this, or it could be a medicine. It could be. So I think that's a really good connection of how humanly we just kind of go down these routes.
Yeah.
So then how can we wait better? What does it look like to wait healthily?
Well, I think our exposure to certain narratives, right? It's so easy, especially today, to just be swimming in the narratives of this world, right? The news is all there. I can just scroll for hours and see this, and it's mostly not positive, especially if we talked about algorithms before we came on the air here, and like the more I look at it, the more that comes my way. And we just get all that, and there's so much bad news in the world, right, if you want to go about it from that angle. And for me, like, I need to spend more time in the waters of Scripture, mm-hmm. right, and swimming in that narrative and having these kind of conversations to be reminded of God's promises, of his faithfulness, sometimes just to be reminded of, oh, he is still doing things.
Right.
It's not like this world's devoid of God's presence or his work. Sometimes I just need to be reminded. It needs to be brought up because it's not in my feed. Right. It's not coming up on, you know, the NBC Nightly News or whatever you're following. I mean, it's just not there unless we're paying attention. And so I think for myself, to be reminded of the victory Christ has won and the joy we can have, even as we lament and, go through pain and suffering at times, to be listening to that word and hearing it often, because I'm getting plenty from other sources day after day of my life. So that's, I think, a big one for me. I need that narrative really taking the lead of my mm-hmm. life if I'm going to have that joy.
Yeah, I think that's true for, like, I mean, you know, that's the good Bible question, right? Mm-hmm. Like, we're supposed to be in Scripture. And as you said, like, swimming in it, that we need to have that on our feed all the time. We need to have that. But for me, just to add to that is, like, community is a big thing. And I think that's something the church is, like, losing in some ways, the heartbeat of community, whether it's at a Bible study last night for men, that idea of getting together, holding each other accountable, being able to have a place where you can voice those things. You know, when I think about it, like, we're called to wait together. Mm-hmm. Like, this isn't just an Austin or a Pastor Dan, you guys are waiting. Like, we're going to endure this together. We're going to run this race together. Mm-hmm. I think about, like, Hebrews, you know, he talks about finishing the race. I'm going to finish the race with my community. You know, we talk about with the students all the time, like, when I get to heaven, I want to see you there too. Mm-hmm. This isn't just about me. Mm-hmm. This is about the community of believers, the body. Mm-hmm. And we need to do that together. And I think we don't, sometimes we miss that. You know, I'll watch the sermon from home. You know, oh, that's great. I'm so happy that that's the media that you're watching right now instead of TikTok. But do you realize, like, how important your presence is with other people in community? Yeah. And I think we're moving, and a lot of it has to do with our social media and our technology has given us the ability to do that. But I think that community piece, it gives me comfort to think that, like, you know, I'm not waiting alone. Mm-hmm. I'm not worshiping alone. Mm-hmm. You know, this isn't just me. I think you said that last night at the men's group at Forged. Like, it's so nice to know that other men are dealing with the same things with marriage and kids. And it's good to hear that and talk about that. That gives you hope. So I think it's super important that we wait in community. So even our worship is in community. Mm-hmm. You know, all the different things that we got going on in our church that points towards our mission and vision, you know, we're doing it together. And I think that can bring that helps with that, some of that despair and things that we're dealing with when we can go through. So
it really does. Well, and like the fact that, and, you know, kind of going to a little bit of what Dan was talking about in his sermon about how, you know, we're this priesthood and we're supposed to serve through prayer and then just through the interacting with believers. Like, that's so, and like, I know for me, I get so locked up in all these other things going on in the world. And then I'll go, and, man, it's crazy how encouraging it is to serve other people with Christ. Yeah. Like, it's one thing even just to worship. It's another thing to go serve.
Yeah. Right.
And, yeah, just that community element of we're helping other people and we're worshiping Christ through that, that makes a huge difference in getting – because it shows you, like, no, there is good things. There is hope.
Right.
Like, Jesus is still working, even if it's on a much smaller scale or in a different way than I would like to see normally.
Right.
Yeah, some of those barriers, too, that we kind of put up between ourselves, even in the church, start to come down when we're living that way together, right? So, and that's it, you know, you've only been on a few times, but you're leaning right into one of our major themes of the podcast. That comes up often. We always joke about it, like the life in community. Yeah. I mean, it's just it's so important. We need each other, too, as well as, of course, the Lord first and foremost. But he's put us together for a reason.
Yeah, you know? I mean, when you look at Scripture, I mean, we were created to be in communion with one another. I mean, right from the beginning, I mean, Eve was created because it wasn't good for Adam to be alone. Mm-hmm. I mean, even the Trinity itself is a perfect picture of communing together. So I think we're created to be in community. And not just because we're lonely or something, but for support, for those things, to be there for one another. Even right from the very beginning, it's like, I've created you to be in community so that you can wait. Because I will come back and I will restore things and I'm going to make all things right and I'm going to redeem all things back to the original design. And I need you guys to wait together. And I mean, you look at it even in the animal kingdom. I mean, you know, when you think about prides, mm-hmm. you know, with lions and stuff, they're always in community. Hyenas or anything packs, else, they yep. go in packs yeah. Because there's strength and there's encouragement and there's support that comes from that. And I think God created us to be that way, to sort of step out of that. Mm-hmm. It's not just about not doing Sunday together. But it's bigger than that. Mm-hmm. It's about waiting together, encouraging each other. And, you know, I think the larger church seems to be moving away from that as a whole and looking more towards technology and isolating ourselves and making worship about me. Mm-hmm. And I think that itself is sticking mm-hmm. it on the throne, too.
Yeah, we can absolutely put the way we worship God as more important than God himself sometimes, mm-hmm. 100%.
Yeah, like you said, Eric, that's always me behind that. That's usually myself right. on the throne. That's yep. really the idol there. So, yeah, good stuff.
Yeah, and it really requires us to be, Dan, I loved your analogy, but like plugged into Christ. Mm. I love that picture. Obviously, I'm a tech guy. I spend probably 80% of my job is plugging things in, unplugging, making right. sure signals are transmitted. So I loved that analogy. I mean, I'd actually like to expand on it a mm-hmm. little bit for you guys and see... Excuse me. see what you guys think about this here. So as we were talking about the plugged in content, it's like we as priests are supposed to be kind of plugged into Christ, help bring his message, his word, his encouragement to the people around us. Right. So keeping that context in mind, I often need to plug in stuff for work. Eric's youth group had their gathering a little while ago. And I was going in and plugging some stuff in, and I went to go plug in the keyboard, and I found the plug I had for my keyboard, it was a 5-volt plug. The keyboard needs 12 volts to function. No matter the fact that that cord was plugged into power, it was plugged in as it should be, it still wasn't enough to make the keyboard function well. Mm-hmm. And similarly, I think we oftentimes, as whether we're in leadership positions or just in general as believers, you know, we're this priesthood. We're supposed to be getting our community plugged into God and being the tools of God's grace. Mm. But we so often are not enough to do that. Mm. I can't be that. And it's something that we all really, we're not good at doing. And so sometimes we use that as an excuse, I feel. Mm. I'm going to do the best I can, but I just can't do it. So, I'm not really going to do the best I can. So I'm wondering for you guys, if we do truly want to be better conduits of God's power and love and grace, but we feel insufficient or too flawed or just not enough to carry that, how can we go about strengthening ourselves, healing ourselves, growing ourselves so that we can do that? How do we turn our insignificant or insufficient connection to God's power and presence and grace into something that actually benefits the family and body of God?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I love this connection, Austin. And I think the pursuit of that, you know, that seeking of to be that conduit that's a great place to be, because I think we're looking then for how God's leading, how he's made us. Because you're absolutely right, and it's true of pastors, it's true of everybody else. There's times when you are not the person to really put someone in connection with God or really help them, right? For example, we have situations in counseling that come up, and sometimes we can help, and other times it's beyond us. You need to talk with someone who's really trained in this and can really go deep with you in it. And we are often more than happy to recommend that person. They need to be your conduit to connect you with the Lord and yourself in this case and how the Lord might be speaking in your life. So there are limits we come across where I'm just not the right cord for this particular issue. But there are times when you are, and we don't want to excuse ourselves from that opportunity. And I think that's where that seeking comes in. When we know, hey, we are the royal priesthood. We are God's people, and we're looking for ways to connect. Then we're aware, how's the Spirit leading? What's he saying here? What's he doing here? And sometimes you'll see God set it up. I am the person that needs to talk to this person that, you know, I went through this, what they're going through now. I can speak into it. Or no, this is way above me. Or I'm in a terrible spot right now. I have no power. I have, you know, my cord's really frayed. I need to bring them to somebody else, right? So just that knowledge that you are a priest when you believe in Jesus Christ. You are to be these connecting points and to tie people in with the Lord. But yeah, what does that look like? How's the Spirit leading? Is this you right now? Maybe it's you and somebody else. Maybe it's you pointing them to someone else. Yeah, just had that conversation with Jackie, our care coordinator downstairs, when she was struggling. How can I point someone? And she discovered another resource. She's like, oh, here's a way I can help them be connected, and they can, you know, really maybe come in touch with God's power through this. But she's also using her gifts, some of the research there, to do that. It wasn't maybe, you know, it's pointing out, here's the 12 volt, right? Yeah. Here's, but that's still good. So, yeah, that's some of it. Yeah, Derek, you got further?
Yeah, I hate to beat a dead horse, but it comes back to community again. I mean, it's about being together. It's about waiting together. And I want to be careful, too, to say that just because you've only got a 10 volt cord, you've still got 10 volts. There's mm-hmm. still power going there.
Yep.
It may not necessarily be enough to do that, but don't ever look at yourself as like, well, then I'm not capable of doing anything.
Mm-hmm.
You're not a dead cord. You're still plugged into the source. It just means that that thing that you're trying to deal with requires a little bit more. And I think that's where we come alongside of each other, like you said, mm-hmm. To help each other. I may not be able to fully do this. I can still pray for you.
Mm-hmm.
I can give you all 10 volts that I've got. And I think, like you said, sometimes I can say, well, that I'm not a 20 volt, you know, cord, so I'll just step out of this one. No, I've got 10 volts and I can still pray for you. And there are things I still can do. So I think that can become a cop out sometimes for us to say, well, I can't handle that. Well, there are things you can do. And I think we have to be open to that as well. And I think the idea of using our resources, and, you know, we've got the Amazing Wellness group across the street mm-hmm. with Kevin DeCam and his team. And it's like, there are people that are trained, and they are the 20 volt cord. But in the meantime, I can pray for you. I can come alongside you. I can show empathy. I can do those things. I'm going to still use all 10 volts that I've got. It's not that I don't have power. It's just, I may not necessarily have the power to do this completely. So to excuse ourselves, I think we have to be careful about that.
And I think also being realistic with them, like, you know what? I know I'm not mature enough to deal with all this right now. I will get other people to help with this.
Right.
I am going to go and find the thing that I might be a 5 volt. I'm going to find something that needs a 5 volt
that, right.
mm-hmm. that I can be that I can work in and lead in and guide and do that. And I'm not going to excuse myself from trying to help and be involved simply because I might not be 100% at this thing. I might not even need to focus on this one thing. There might be some other area that I can serve better.
But as brothers and sisters in Christ, too, I need to help encourage you
Absolutely.
To show you those ways. It's not just you go figure it out on your own.
Mm-hmm.
But, you know, hey, I really see something in you, Austin, and this has got an issue over here. It needs a 10-volt cord,
mm-hmm.
and I really think that you're capable of doing that. So I think that encouragement piece and that spurring along of
mm-hmm.
each other,
mm-hmm.
again, it's running that race together. I mean, you know, we're not going to cross the finish line together if we don't if we don't work together. And again, I really do believe that. I mean, when Jesus sent the disciples out, he sent them out two by two. He didn't send them out individually. He probably could have covered more ground had he sent them out individually, but he sent them out two by two. Why? Because they needed to be there for each
mm-hmm.
other. We have to have each other. So we need to be looking out for each other in that way. Again, that whole idea that has been your focus, Pastor Dan, is this wait.
Mm-hmm.
And it's like, how do we wait? Well, we wait together.
Mm-hmm.
We have to do this together.
Mm-hmm.
We're not going to be able to weather the storm if we try to do it individually on our own. Just not to beat a dead horse about the community.
No. Listen, it's a great dead horse to keep beating because we'll keep beating it with you.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
Yep. So we're done with this second Advent series. What can we be looking forward to in the upcoming weeks?
So a little bit of a shift, although it was something we talked about this past week, and that's prayer. And part of how we wait is in prayer. That's very clear, you know, even from the golden bowl full of the incense of God's people's prayers in Revelation 5. We wanted to take some time just talking about this practice and seeking that rhythm in our lives as part of how we adore God as well. And how we lift each other up. And so we're going to talk about that in February. We're going to kind of connect a little bit with Tim Keller's book on prayer that came out some 8 or so years ago. So we'll have some copies of that. And, of course, people can get it themselves, too. And he kind of goes into different thoughts about that, how we can desire prayer, how do we practice it, you know, how do we go deeper into it, all these things. And then we'll have, of course, you know, scripture passages we look at. So this week we'll look at kind of this fundamental desire for prayer and where does that come from in Romans 8. 14:15, that basic cry of Abba, Father, and how the Spirit builds that in us, and that that just basic, yeah, we should desire to call out to our Father who has saved us, who pours His Spirit into us, who's ready to provide for our needs. And so just that beginning point of wanting to be in prayer, wanting to be in conversation with our Heavenly Father as we start this series. So, yeah, looking forward to spending a few weeks where we hopefully to have a few practical things, prompts to help build this rhythm into our life together. But, yeah, that's what's coming up.
Wonderful. Well, I'm so excited for that. Thank you, Pastor Eric, Pastor Dan, for doing this. Thank you all again for listening. God go with you as you navigate this week.